This is the Canucks Central Postgame Show.
Quinn Hughes, left point, to the right side for Hronek, down the near boards for Garland. With a pass in front, Pugh Suter scores! Suter in the slot beats Casey DeSmith, and just like that, it's 5-4 with 28.4 seconds left. 10 seconds left to Garland to the point. Left point, Hughes, long wrist shot deflected wide of the goal. Rebound for Hronek in front. They score! It's Pugh Suter in the slot with 5.2 seconds left, and they're not dead yet. Suter's got his second goal in the final minute of the third, and it's 5-5.
With instant reaction from the players and coaches.
To the left corner for Hronek. Poke check by Harley low in the zone. He's knocked down by Hronek at the end boards. Garland gets it in front for Sherwood. He scores! Kiefer Sherwood wins it in overtime for the Canucks. And they're back from the dead. They trailed 5-2 in the final minute of the third, but win it 6-5 on the road in Texas. And it's Sherwood with the overtime winner, his 18th of the season.
Have your say on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Canucks come back from 2-3 goal deficits in this hockey game. Beat the Stars 6-5 in Dallas. What a comeback victory. Kiefer Sherwood is 18th of the campaign, and this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Let Kubota do your heavy lifting. Visit them online at dleamc.com. Get your thoughts into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll free, 1-888-275-0650. It's Seth Urshaw and Bick Nizar. We'll bring in Randy Janda into the conversation in just a moment.
What the heck just happened?
You know what happened? You know what the Canucks said tonight? They said, we're not leaving!
What on earth just happened?
I don't know what happened. So they have
delete the eulogies.
I mean, it's an epic comeback, right? Ultimately, all this does is delay the inevitable, probably, because, you know, if Minnesota wins, right? But, they have at least staved that off for one more night. It looked like it was done and dusted in the second period, down 3-0, and the Stars were, you know, the far better team in the second period, and the Canucks stormed back to complete the comeback. An epic night in Dallas. And Randeep, I mean, what do you make of this hockey game?
Boys, first of all, I'd like to make an amendment to the Waypoint Insurance Player of the Game. We gave it to Mikael Granlund. I want to switch it up to a Canuck. I think we jumped the gun there. Batch and I were just talking about
it. I think Pugh Suter's got to be the guy, right?
Suter's got to be the guy. Honorary mention to Connor Garland, 3 primary assists. But, yeah, we're making that change for the first time in history. What a game. I think the NHL website developers as well were ready to slap that E next to the name of the Vancouver Canucks on the standings. Hold off. That's not happening tonight, or as of right now anyways. What a game. Holy smokes.
Still trying to wrap my head around it. Like, it was 3-0. It was 3-0.
5-2.
There was an empty net goal at 17:39 to essentially end it. And it was 5-2, Randeep. And, man, like, I don't understand what just happened. There was a goal at 19, 1930, and 1953. Wild, wild scenes. Absolute scenes, as they would say across the pond.
We were so impressed by 5 goals in 4.5 minutes. We got 3 goals in a minute in this game. So the Canucks, whatever, you know, is going on, listen, no quitting this team, even though at 3-0 it looked like it was done after 40 minutes. They come back, boom, they score that goal right off the top within the first 33 seconds of the period on the power play. And boys, it didn't stop there. You know, we know which way this is headed for this team this season, but the fact of the matter is that they're still fighting. They're getting contributions from young guys and basically the veterans as well. You saw what Garland did. You saw what Suter did. You got to tip your cap to them and say, hey, okay, they're not quitting here at the very least, and tonight was unbelievable.
It really was, and ultimately, again, it might just be delaying the inevitable, but they are a depleted lineup, and when they went down 3-0, especially at the end of the second, it looked like it was over, right? And we were talking about that in the second intermission, and you know, people were texting in, they were frustrated that the Canucks looked like they were being pushed around or not tough enough, and I said, their problem isn't that they're not tough enough, they're just not good enough in these moments against the Stars, and all it took was scoring off the rush on the power play in the third period to completely turn this game on its head, and got to give DeBrusk a lot of credit because it was score, but to all about business. They drew another penalty and they made it happen on the power play, and that's what got them back into this game. They almost lost it on the PK, but they got it back on the power play.
For sure, guys. And that 3-1 goal, right, a very smart goal by DeBrusk, sees the opening there, and he just banks it off the left skate of DeBrusk. So all you need is that one bounce, but that was a very calculated bounce. That was intentional. That was a goal scorer's goal to identify, hey, I got this. This guy's maybe committing too much one way. I can use it to my advantage. And you could see that from Casey DeSmith's reaction, too. He was like, oh, no, he played me. But, you know, sometimes that's all you need, where you get a little bit of that confidence back in your game. And that 3-2 goal, though, that's the one I look at and say, you know, also, you got to give a little bit of credit to the coach here. That power play one maybe wasn't clicking, so he got the young guys out there. And there was so much simplicity in that power play, too, with Mancini scoring the goal. But, you know, Ratu doing his thing, being the primary assist on that goal. Linus Karlsson not only digging for pucks in the corner, but providing the screen. And it was nice to see, because you have that 3-1 goal. Jake DeBrusk, the veteran presence, ends up getting that goal. But later on, the second goal, you had the young guys step up. And at this time of the year, you know, we talk about the long-term view with this team. Are the young guys making a difference? Are they playing with confidence? The coach taps them on the shoulder and says, hey, I want you to go out there in the power play, and they get it done that way. You know, that's the win is one thing. The way to come back is one thing, which is unbelievable. But the fact that they got contributions from the young guys in those moments, that tells you something.
It's the type of game, again, through two periods, it felt like it was just a deflating end to the season, right? And meaningless games, meaningful games, whatever you want to call it. At the very least, fans want to see some spirit at the end of it. And we're getting a lot of texts of like, classic Canucks. But at least it's entertaining. At least it's fun. Well,
yeah, I mean, Felix from Richmond says, I don't give a crap if the Canucks make the playoffs or not. This is just what I needed as a fan to watch this year tonight. And sometimes it's just about watching a game and being a fan. And the moment and the game itself was fun. And we talk about these games are meaningless. And I thought at least tonight was a reminder of, it's still fun watching hockey games, and if your team comes back in a game like this, even if the playoffs don't matter at this point or they're not going to get in, it was just a really fun, enthusiastic hockey game. And you saw something. We're trying to figure out how often this has happened, but erasing a 3-goal deficit with 1 minute left to go. I mean, it's the stuff like never happens.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. And you know, I think what this showed me, guys, and this time of the year, we can always wonder of, hey, do teams care or do they not if they're not making the playoffs? This team cares. Like, the fact that they did not go down and they did not break down after 5-2 or 3-0, this is, you know, as a fan, you want the players that are on the ice, you want the players that are hitting the ice to care. And yes, it's been a bad season, right? It's been a season that's, you know, disappointed in terms of the comparing to last year. But the fact of the matter is, these guys, you know, whether it's Pugh Suter having a career year, whether it's the young guys like Elias Pettersson, you know, bringing an aggression, not only from a physical standpoint, but also he doesn't hesitate to get shots off. Marcus Pettersson, you know, setting up that 5-3 goal with Atu Ratu and stripping the puck to make that play. Like, there is a level of want there that you got to respect and say, hey, if they're making the playoffs or not, which we know the answer to that right now, the chances are very – they're even lower than my percentage in Math 11, boys. That's how low they are right now. But, you know, this is a team that at least is trying their best and down to the final stand. This was – kind of felt like their last stand, and they survived.
Corey from GP, Hronek is a beast in the face-off dot. Like, honestly, like, that's the way to explain this, is Philip Hronek.
Hey, hold on. Face-off circle is one thing, Vic, but how about him down low on that on that game-tying goal as well, right? He's pretty good around the blue paint as well.
It's the way to explain the season. It's the season that Canucks D-man won a face-off to keep their playoff hopes, very, very slim playoff hopes alive. And, yeah, look, again, we're going to spend some time going through all the goals here. 11 goals tonight. But it's like, I'm hard-pressed to pick the one that's like, oh, yeah, it was this one that finally turned the tide, because there was just that little bit of fight there, obviously, at the end in the Suter goals.
Yeah, it's a difficult one. But I think, you know, there's so many good things you can take from a bunch of these goals. I think the Suter one, obviously, you know, you see what Hronik's able to do on that play. The 5-4 goal, too, like, I mentioned it earlier. I think the three primary assists for Connor Garland. Obviously, the first goal, you know, he's attacking with speed. He creates that opportunity for DeBrusk. But I found the other two assists. The 5-4 goal, he's working hard on that Suter goal. And then overtime, guys, right after Sherwood scored, he pointed at Connor Garland to say, man, that was all you. He makes the pass one thing, but also making the original takeaway on Matt Dumba there. You know, that was, I think that's where you can appreciate just the effort that Connor Garland is putting into these plays. And he's been, you know, there's been kind of moments where he's been really, really good this year. Other times we've seen, okay, maybe you could use a little bit more. But I think in this game, that hunger was there. But where you probably had belief, I want to say it was that 5-4 goal where they're fighting for it. You know, Hronik's involved, Garland's involved. And that one, when you get that goal and you've got, what, 28 seconds, 29 seconds left, and say, if we play a direct game, this team is susceptible to get scored on, because yeah. Dallas showed, you know, whether it was that 3-1 goal, whether it was later on in the game, they were bending, right? Like, they were eating pressure. And good on the Canucks to take advantage of that.
Yeah, and, you know, you got to give them a lot of credit for how they played the third. And I thought, actually, they played really well in the first 5-on-5. I mean, they yep. had, if you looked at the high dangers, there was 5-0 for Vancouver, and I think that was accurate. We broke it down in the first, but they just couldn't kill the two penalties that they took, and Dallas took the lead. But 5-on-5, they were good early. The second period, it got really lopsided once Dallas started really imposing their will. But in the third, the Canucks kind of got it back. So this wasn't a game where they got lucky or they didn't do anything well. I mean, there's a lot of things they did well, and by the end of it, we're sitting here talking about Atu Ratu, a big moment, had some good moments in this game. Linus Karlsson, a couple really good moments in this game too, and then DPD, his physicality going head to head against Mikko Rantanen. DeBrusk gets his 25th goal. Suter's doing his thing. Sherwood 18 goals. Like, it's funny how everything turns from a game without a lot of positive storylines to one really brimming with them.
Yeah, and I think where, you know, you want to see is, we talked about the want and the desire of the veterans to win this game. We saw that later on in the game. They're the ones who stepped up. But early on in this game, consistently, I thought the young guys did a heck of a job. And Linus Karlsson, 10 minutes and 40 seconds of ice time, guys. But he had an assist. He was winning battles. He was everywhere. You talk about Atu Ratu, a goal and assist. And he had more opportunities, right? Like, there was a couple of opportunities where he's maybe not the best playmaker. We can all understand that looking at his stats, but he does not hesitate to, A, attack the middle of the ice, and when he's got even an odd angle to shoot at, he's ready. He's tracking the puck well, and I like the fact that he does not hesitate to try to create offense. And you mentioned it earlier on as well, the defenseman, Mancini, gets the goal. A good job there by the power play to really set up. But I think Elias Pettersson, right? Like, you start looking at his 5 hits in this game, and were there certain moments, a giveaway here, a giveaway there? Of course, that's going to happen. You're a young player. But his ability to engage in physical battles and just be an absolute thorn in your side, I'm excited to see what this guy can be in a year, year and a half, because there's so much confidence in his physical game right now where, you know, he kind of reminds me of it's tough to, like, name a player, but, like, there's certain guys in this league that other players hate playing against. You know, Radko Gudas would be one of them, right? Where you're just like, you know, you're going to get drilled every single time he has you have the puck. You know, even if you win a battle, that you're going to come out of there with a couple of bruises. Elias Pettersson certainly has the feel of that type of defenseman, and he's showing some sort of offensive instinct where when the puck's there, when it's free, he's trying to get pucks through. I love that about his game. 3 shots on goal tonight as well.
This text coming in from Ang or Ange, sorry if I get that wrong. Talkett pulling the goalie last week to get reps for today's comeback. He's playing 5D chess. How do we reconcile this? Because this is why you pulled the goalie down 2 goals, which he did today, and they make the
comeback.
Down
3? Oh, yeah. Well, they were down 3
Ange
goals.
Ange Postecoglou texting into the show?
But, like, again, doesn't do it against Winnipeg, does it against the next game, and was that against Kraken? And then... Yep. Does it today, and they come back in this one. Like, you know, that it shows the merits in pushing it to the limit there, but also it worked out. It worked out today.
I think Rick Tocchet just sent a message to all of us saying, hey, next time you try to question my empty pulling the goalie, remember this date of April 8th, 2025. Listen, part of it's luck, part of it's tact, but I thought, you know, give credit to the coaching staff for making the right calls. I go back to that 3-2 goal. I think the deployment on the power play, identifying what you needed, was something that Rick Tocchet did it well there. But later on in the game, the players, you could see that there was that, after that 5-4 goal, there's an element of belief on the bench. They were kind of smirking. They were kind of like, all right, we got this. So, sure, the coach definitely did his job. But, guys, if the players don't respond, if the players don't have that no-quit mentality, you're probably losing this game 5-3 or 5-4, even in regulation, if not 5-2.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's been really interesting watching Pew Suter this season, and somebody's asking us, Mike is asking us, is Pew Suter the answer to be the second-line center for this team long-term? And ultimately, I'm not sure, as good as he's been, that I feel like on a championship-caliber team, that he's your second line center, but you can excuse people from wondering if he's capable, because
he's legit NHLer, right?
He is, but he has made it. Made it enough of a conversation with how well he's played here down the stretch? We're talking about him playing at a point per game level since playing a top six spot. Like, we're talking about upwards of 20 games here.
Well, okay, so first of all, 45 points he's got now as well, which is pretty wild, guys. When he was signed a couple years ago, I think there was the thought of, hey, you know, look at those career totals. Can he get you around 15 to 20 goals? Now he's surpassed that. He's picked up, you know, 45 points. You got to be, you know, I think it's amazing what he's done. But the question I have with Pew Suter long-term is, on a playoff team, on a good team, he could probably be your second line center, maybe a player that plays in the top six. But on a cup contending team, which is usually the end goal, right? When you're building a team, that's what you want to be. Is he going to be that guy? Is he going to be that guy that's playing on that second line? I don't believe that's the case, but is there a future? Absolutely. I think, you know, depends on price point, depends on what he wants. He's flourished in Vancouver. I think there's certainly a path where if he's your, you know, a top six winger, if he's your third line center, he's a heck of a piece. He provides depth. There may be teams out there that see him as a 2C on their squad. They might pay him a certain amount of money to make that happen. And, you know, all the power to him on that, because you earn free agency. But I'm with you, Sad. I think what he's been able to do this year is unbelievable. But, yeah, there is that. That's that price point, right? Every team's got a walkaway number. Every team's going to look at their roster and their long-term depth chart to say, where does he fit? Is he a 2C? And I'm just not sure that on a cup contending team, or a team that's going to be, should be, you know, looking that way long term, if he's that 2C, you need somebody else there. But maybe in the short term, he could certainly play that role.
Yeah, no doubt about that. The cha-ching is right, man. Like, so, like, his past 20 games, he has 19 points, 10 goals, 9 assists. I mean, it's quite the run for Pew Suter, doing it at the right time, too, to cash in this offseason. Randeep, great stuff, man, and hopefully the game on Thursday against the Avs is half as entertaining as this one was.
Boys, I'm going straight to bed. First the Arsenal match earlier today, then the Canucks doing this. I need a break, man. I need to lay down. Let's go.
What was better, the double from Pew Suter, or the double from, or the brace from Declan Rice?
You're making me choose here, but I got to go Declan Rice on those beauties. I'm sorry, Canucks fans, but that Arsenal match was something else. But this was a heck of a match. Come back for the ages.
Yeah, big one. And great stuff, Randeep.
Take care, boys.
That is Randeep Janda, and that was your game review. Need more power and efficiency in your lineup? Meet the 2025 Honda CR-V Sport, where rates from 2.49%. Visit bchonda.ca. Get your thoughts into our text inbox, Dunbar Lumber 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. Before we go to the phone boards, and before we hit the break, let's take a look at the text inbox, 650-650. Steve Onsanich says, Suter's only 28. If he was 30, I'd pass. Sign him, based on the conversation we just had about Pew Suter.
Yeah, you know, we've chatted about what a contract might look for him. It's just getting pricier and pricier and pricier. And now, not even just AAV, like, we can start talking term all of a sudden, right? Like, you're going to put up 50 points. It seems hard to keep this below 5 years all of a sudden for a Pew Suter. And you're up over $20 million now. Congrats to him, because it's been unreal. But it's going to be a big, big payday for him. And, you know, you've referenced like Andrew Kopp and JT Comfort, those types of deals. You know, those were over $25 million at 5 years. That's kind of the situation that's developing all of a sudden.
Yeah, he's put himself in that position. And, you know, I'm still skeptical about him getting 5 million plus like those guys did. But every point he gets, like if he gets over 50 points on the season here, he gets over 25 goals, it does shift the discussion. And he's put himself in a very, very favorable spot heading into free agency. And we'll see if the Canucks are still willing to pony up to keep Pugh Suter, who is 28 years old, as Steve-O mentioned.
He'll be 29 for the next contract,
yeah,
but yes.
But yes. But we have a lot more reaction on the text inbox. Joshua from Nanaimo says, I went to both games on the weekend and it was crazy up and down. I'll be at Mini and Vegas as well. I'm wondering if I somehow entered the Matrix. Who knows?
By the way, that Minnesota game, it appears, I saw a tweet today from Michael Russo that could be Marc-Andre Fleury's final game.
Against in Vancouver. So
his final NHL game, yeah. The one on Saturday in Vancouver. So it's pretty cool moment to be there for.
Yeah, so there we go. So that game, as far as the standings may not matter, but it could be something historic because it could be the last game for a potential, or I would say probable Hall of Fame goaltender, Marc-Andre Fleury.
Oh,
the amount of
wins,
Stanley Cups, and all that.
Yeah.
Like, he'll be a Hall of Fame netminder. What else are you seeing on the text inbox, Bick?
650. It is nonstop coming in. What a shocker result coming in. Sheldon from Surrey, who's a Stars fan, says, I want Pete DeBoer fired right now. He wants Dallas to pull a Denver Nuggets and Memphis Grizzlies. Just fire the coach right before the playoffs. Who cares what it does?
So DeBoer has been Demko'd before, like he mentioned.
Yes.
Tonight they got Canucked. It wasn't so much being Demko'd. It was getting Canucked.
Maggie says, I just know it's dead silent in the Dallas locker room right now. Yeah. This one, unsigned. Why do the Canucks do this to us? I love this team. That one's coming in. 650. There is look, we like to sit here sometimes and people like to comment and be like, oh, you guys are a good therapy session after moments. There is no logic to what happened.
No,
tonight.
it was chaotic hockey.
It's just vibes tonight.
Yeah, just chaotic hockey. It was fun. It was a fun night. Honestly, when you see a game like that, you see that it's a 3-goal comeback with a minute to go. Like, how do you see that?
I don't know if they'll get back to us, but I've sent a note over to Sportsnet Stats to see
if they can.
How often that's been done here.
Yeah, we'll see if we get some info in. All right, great stuff as always. Keep your thoughts coming into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. And we will take a phone call here before we hit the break. And let's start things off. We got this call just in. Let's go to Manny, who called in. Manny, what are your thoughts here tonight?
Amazing comeback by the boys. Like, not the greatest first two periods, but I'm super proud of the boys to just stick with it. Comeback special team unit on third period, and I'm just, wow. You had Stars fans, they're leaving the arena and just tapping me saying, better luck next time, bud. And I'm just so glad I just stuck through the game, and they just won. I'm so happy. And for me, that's arena 16 that I've seen the Canucks on the road, and on Thursday, I'll be watching them play in Denver. So so far this season, I was at the game in Toronto, we won.
Nice.
And then in Calgary, we had that resilient win and this, so I'm hoping to go 4-for-4 sat.
Well, hey, Manny, listen, I don't know what's going on, but the Canucks got to get you on these road trips.
Absolutely.
Like, if you would have been on the road trips, maybe the Canucks would have made the playoffs. Like, what's going on here?
My friends say it to me all the time. They're like, they always win. And honestly, you said, I get the crowd going to it. It's amazing to see a more fans on the road like that, and it's great.
I love it. Hey, Manny, great stuff, man. And good luck from Colorado, and call in anytime.
Forget that. He's Manny on home ice. 16-15-7, right? Come
whatever.
On.
Whatever. Just be with the team. Hire Manny.
Yeah.
Maybe this is something they can invest in.
The Mannies per winning streak in the organization right now is really strong.
Yeah, the Mannies are coming up strong. All right, let's take one more phone call before we hit the break, and let's go to Maple Ridge where we have our friend Gary on the line. Gary, what's going on, pal? What are your thoughts here? I know you were texting in earlier. You were really mad about management, but the victory change your mood a little bit here, bud?
No, I tell you something. I was just talking to your producer, Eddie, there. I was outside talking to my buddy next door to me, and I was getting my recycling. I thought it was 3-0, and I just thought, well, that's it. And I come back inside, and they start the third period starts, and it ends up being 3-1. And I thought, okay, fine. Yeah. Then of course, by the way, this has got a lot to do with coaching. Don't get rid of Tocchet. Got to keep this guy because he knows how to win hockey games, Stanley Cups, of course. But I'm going to say this. I've been screaming at the TV, and I'm old enough to know and remember Tom Larshide, and he said one phrase. That's Canuck hockey. And I tell you something, if I'd like to see Colorado play, but I wouldn't be surprised. Wait for it. I wouldn't be surprised. We might make it, but isn't it fun to have the roller coaster ride, guys?
Yeah,
thanks,
you got it.
Me. Come on. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Gary. Gary calling in, and then Gary, some hope, maybe? I don't know. Joe texted in, too. So he's like, I didn't think they had hope, but then they come back and win this game, and maybe I start believing again. It's one of those things where the emotions can run high pretty quickly after a game like this.
All right, so here we go. Big shout-out to Lotto Line 2024 for tagging us in this tweet. The NHL PR has put out the first team in Canucks history or in NHL history to erase a 3-goal deficit in the final minute of regulation.
First team in NHL history?
Yeah, that's from NHL PR.
The Canucks just made history.
Yeah.
It's the first time in NHL history a team has come back from a 3-goal deficit with under a minute to go.
Yeah. The earliest or the latest previously had been 56-38 by the Montreal Canadiens.
So this is the least amount of time somebody's wow.
The Kraken obviously did it to Vancouver,
but it wasn't like
it was 55-15 and this one 59 minutes.
Wow. Wow. Unreal. Historic night with Vancouver Canucks. Wow. All right. Keep your thoughts coming in through a Dunbar Lumber text inbox 650-650. You can grab a phone line as well, 604-280-0650, or toll-free 1-888-275-0650. We'll get to your phone calls, your text messages, and we'll hear from the Canucks head coach on the Canucks Central postgame show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment on Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Dan Riccio.
And Satyar Shah.
Join us for Canucks Central, where we will set up the game and break down the latest around the Canucks.
4 to 6 p.m. and post-game on Sportsnet 650 and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is where you talk Canucks. You're listening to the Canucks Central post-game show on the official home of the Canucks. Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Hughes right circle, top of the line, to the left corner for Hronek. Poke check by Harley low in the zone. He's knocked down by Hronek of the end boards. Garland gets it in front for Sherwood. He scores! Kiefer Sherwood wins it in overtime for the Canucks. And they're back from the dead. They trailed 5-2 in the final minute of the third, but win it 6-5 on the road in Texas. And it's Sherwood with the overtime winner, his 18th of the season.
Against all odds for the Vancouver Canucks. Down 5-2, and here in overtime, Kiefer Sherwood gets the overtime winner, but what a play by Connor Garland as he picks the pocket of Matt Dumba behind the net. Filip Hronek looks like he loses the puck, and what happens here is Dumba has a half a second. He's got it on his backhand, but Connor Garland takes the puck from the man and then eventually makes that pass. A forehand pass to Kiefer Sherwood, finds that middle of the ice, and ends up winning this for the Vancouver Canucks. And Sherwood with the point at Connor Garland for doing the dirty work as the Canucks somehow win this game 6-5.
And what a play by Connor Garland. We'll break the goals down behind the net in overtime to feed Kiefer Sherwood, who snaps home his 18th of the campaign. Big season for him. Big win for the Canucks. An epic comeback, making NHL history. First team ever to erase a 3-goal deficit in the final minute of an NHL hockey game. And this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment at Satin Bic on Sportsnet 650. Keep your thoughts coming in to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll-free 1-888-275-0650. We'll go to the phone boards here coming up in a moment, and people are jacked up and just bewildered by what they watched here tonight. You know, we were talking about how, like, the final five games, the Canucks haven't officially been eliminated, but it's only a matter of time based on, you know, how close they are to being eliminated heading into the game here tonight.
I tell you what, I'd be real nervous if I was Minnesota right now.
No, you know what? Like,
I'm kidding.
You never know, right? It's one of those things. Like, you win hockey games, but the chances are still like, what, 1% or something? Like, it's very minuscule. But you're like, okay, so what do these games matter? Like, what's to play for here? Well, it's a reminder that when you watch an NHL hockey game, you can still see history, and that's what we saw here tonight between the Canucks and the Dallas Stars, Bick.
Especially on the heels of Sunday, Ovi, and you're like, oh, man, here's something we never thought was going to happen.
Yeah.
895, and it happens. And then tonight, again, it's mind-blowing.
This has never happened. I thought somebody would have erased a 3-goal deficit in the final minute of a game, but that's never happened before. That to me is it's
stunning.
It's stunning. Well, I mean, who comes back from a 3-goal deficit in the final minute?
Coming back from 3 goals is already like tough enough.
So you know what this also justified? The Canucks sticking with Shelovs in the playoffs over to Smith. I'm just kidding. I'm just totally kidding. But keep your thoughts coming into our Dunbar Lumber
text. My take finally gets confirmed a year later. Sean, 650-650 says, can we get some Stars audio tonight? I'm hysterical at the thought of what they're saying, but the state of paralysis that swept over that team. We'll try to get that one.
I mean, it's so many funny things happen, like Philip Hronek taking the face off because Garland got waved out in overtime, and Austin Langley texts in and says, is Hronek the Canucks' answer for right-handed 2C? My story for The Athletic.
I tried looking this up. I believe there was 4 D-men who've attempted face-offs this year. And they whiffed on all of them.
Yeah, well, so, except for Filip Hronek.
Except for Filip Hronek.
You need guys to win right-handed face-offs.
Yeah, so it was Luke Hughes, Jackson Lacombe, who can barely do everything, Mackenzie Weegar, and Uvis Belinskis. He took 2 this year, but they went 0 for 5.
So Hronik's the first defenseman to win a face-off this year.
This year, yeah.
History's being made.
Which, I know we're all watching Quinn Hughes try to chase down Alex Edler for points. Alex Edler had 8 faceoff wins, apparently. So Hronek's now 7 back of that.
Oh, man, that's funny. This one says, guys, I took the dog to the park to return to start of OT. This is why they play hard to the last second. They all deeply care, is what one person texted in. Before we go to the phone boards, anything else you want to point out from text inbox?
650-650. It's just all vibes. Like, people just fired up. This one, though. From Island Willie. Where was that urgency shown in the third period during the previous 77 games? Fair point. And it's a thing we've been talking about of why the state of the season is what it is. You know, that level of effort we haven't seen consistently over the course of now 78 games.
Yeah.
79 games? 78 games. Yeah. They need to match that going into next season, obviously. Yeah,
but hey, this game has people staring up at the heavens. Keith from Haney says, God wills it. And it seemed like divine intervention coming back from a 3-goal deficit within a minute to go. So maybe, just maybe, that continues. Who knows? I mean, epic things have happened in hockey. But again, just enjoy the moment for the Vancouver Canucks and a comeback. Now, not everybody likes the comeback. Renfrew Marco says, what a useless win. You know, it hurts your playoff stand, your draft position to classic Canucks, missing the playoffs and getting the worst possible draft pick. So there's always that side of the coin, too, that gets into our text inbox. But let's go to the phone boards and let's start things off in Dallas, where we have Ray on the line. Ray was at the game in Dallas. What's going on, Ray? How are you feeling after the game?
I'm just really happy because me and my whole family went to the game and I couldn't believe it because all these Dallas fans are just like, all of them just left, and it was, like, the craziest thing ever because, like, everybody just thought they won, and I just couldn't believe it.
Right, so Dallas fans left when they were winning?
Yeah, they just all thought that they already won, so we all were just yelling, Canucks won everywhere, and it was just the best feeling.
That's awesome.
That's awesome, Ray. Hey, thanks for calling in. Enjoying the road trip?
Also, I wanted to say, I feel like Casey DeSmith is probably still a Canucks person.
Hey, thanks for the phone call, Ray. Appreciate it. Call back anytime. That's good stuff. Casey DeSmith still a Canuck? Still playing for the Canucks?
Who leaves a 5-2 game?
They thought it was over.
Gotta beat the traffic.
So, have you been at a game before and you've left early? In a victory or a loss?
I don't think so.
I generally don't if I'm at games.
I've only ever left a movie early once.
Was it that
like,
bad?
It was the New Manchurian Candidate. Oh, but usually it's like I bought a ticket for 60 minutes of action. I'm going to watch 60 minutes of action.
Yeah, I hear you. But yeah, I mean they thought maybe they were just walked away and now
if
they
you're
just imagine they won.
A home fan too? Like okay, maybe I can understand a road fan.
Yeah.
They're like 5-2, all right. But if you're a home fan, it's like they're going to announce 3 stars. Give a round of applause for your guys.
Yeah, they're not it. They're not it. They're not
tough scenes.
Yeah, difficult. Let's continue on the phone board.
They need a reminder too on their goal song. They shout Dallas Stars. Like they need a reminder of who they are. They need a reminder of what this. It takes 60 minutes.
Remind them that you have
60 minutes is what they need the next goal song to be.
Don't leave.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll be the next chant in Dallas.
You know how we were joking of the Quinn Hughes chant?
It's yeah.
Like, please don't leave us. The opposite is like, please don't leave yet.
That's good. Please don't leave yet. That's going to be the new chant in Dallas. Let's continue on the phone board. Let's go to Victoria, where we have Glenn on the line. Glenn, thanks for calling in. Now, what do you have for us?
Hey, boys. You got me?
Yeah, we got you.
Awesome. Yeah, no, that was crazy, okay? I've all but written off the Canucks season for sure. But I looked at it, you know, Minnesota's got a clear path. They've got some really, really not good teams, and we're playing Colorado and Vegas still as well as Minnesota. But Minnesota's got, like, the easiest path ever to get in.
Mm-hmm.
They just have to win one. But I'm stoked. I can't believe how good a game that was. I was about to shut off the TV, and I decided to just tough it out like I have all season. And boys didn't disappoint. It was a great game. Sherwood, like you said, he was going to score 300. Not quite, but he did pretty good. He came out with everything he's got this season. He's a good guy. I'm glad he's on our team. Don't know what they'll do for a 2C next year, but Sutter sure looks like capable of being that 2C.
Yeah.
All right, boys. Have a good night.
Appreciate it, Glenn. And that's it. Glenn always hanging in there. Appreciate your text and your phone call as well. Let's take one more phone call before we get to the Canucks head coach. And let's go to Dallas again. And we'll go to Russ. A lot of Canucks fans at the game.
Awesome.
Russ, what's going on? How you doing tonight, and how was the game?
Oh, boys, good, man. It was not what I expected. So I started out the game in a peaceful protest wearing my JT Miller jersey the other way, because last time we were here, if you guys recall, I called you guys distraught because we traded Millsy. And so I wore that. And then for the first period, I wore a paper bag over my head to protest against ownership and a lot of the meddling that's gone on with Aquilini and things of that nature, at least what has been said to have happened. But besides that, I will say this. I'm very happy to eat crow. We were down by 3 goals. I literally went on to Twitter, posted a picture of me with my bag on my head saying this sums up our season, and tonight is doing nothing to help me. And then what do? Talk does what we didn't think he would do. Pulls the goalie, calls timeouts, everything that we said he wouldn't do, and then bada boom, bada bing, 6-5. I just want to say really quickly, in person, Junior, D. Petey, holy cow, guys. There is something special there. That kid has composure. He's not afraid. And actually, if you guys didn't notice, when him and Rantanen got those matching minors against each other, I don't know if you saw, but Rantanen was actually talking to him and laughing with him in the other penalty box. And I'm sure he's probably saying something along the lines of, hey, you know, you got big cans, bro. Like, you got big, you know, big ones. And I have respect for you because DPD's special, man. We got something really special there, boys. But, man, it was awesome, awesome. I'm still in my peaceful protest, but for tonight, I'm going to enjoy this. Thanks, boys.
Hey, you got it, Russ. Always appreciate the phone call, the passion, and the recognition. Like, you might be upset about things, but when incredible things happen and your favorite team is involved, it's still fun to
witness. Still history today.
Yeah, you got to witness this. It was a lot of fun to see what happened. All right, we'll get to more of your phone calls here coming up in a bit. So hold on to your phone lines, and we'll get to more of your text messages. But before we do that, let's get to the thoughts of the Canucks head coach. Let's go to the podium, brought to you by Tile Town. Here is Rick Tocchet.
Good. Well, to battle back in the third period and take this one in overtime, talk about the fight that you saw from your team tonight.
Yeah, overall, I didn't think we were that bad. I mean, obviously, they got the 3 power play goals. Our peak has been unreal all year, so a couple of unfortunate situations starting behind the 8-ball, but I love the fight, obviously, in the third period. To do that is, you know, it's a character win for a lot of guys. I mean, the team.
Victor Mancini grabs his first as a Vancouver Canuck. What have you seen from him?
Yeah, no, I think he's a guy that when we got him, there's a lot of tools there, and we got to keep working with him. You know, there's stuff that, you know, he's got to. He's a young kid. He's a young defenseman, but to get that goal, obviously, will build confidence.
Have you been involved as a player or coach in getting 3 goals in the final minute?
I mean, it's got to be one up there. I mean, I think I've seen it. My son texted me, you look like last year's team in the third. So he gave me a little shot on it, my son. But, it was nice to see the fight and the guys come back.
That sounded like a compliment.
Yeah. I'll take a count as much as I can right now.
So, obviously, the math is still very bleak,
yeah,
and it could be over tomorrow, depending on
sure
what Minnesota does. But does a game like this, especially maybe for your young players who were involved at the end, does it have a spillover effect? Does it maybe mean something beyond this season?
I think it's huge for development. You know, you're sitting on the bench as a young kid. You know, it's 5-2, you know, whatever time was left, it looks, you know, looks like we're going to lose. And then we score a goal, and you see the fight, and you know, the diagrams. Hey, we're doing this. Like, there wasn't guys hanging their head. I think it's huge for the young guys. And to be honest with you, they were up on the bench and they were alive. You know, they were cheering the guys on who were on the ice. So, yeah, that's big for development.
Had Veronik out there just to win a face-off in OT? Or?
Yeah, I know. He just said he was 1-0 his career. I don't think he's ever taken a face-off. But, yeah, that's what I mean. Listen, to win hockey games, you got to expect the unexpected. And, you know, Phil Veronik winning a draw in the overtime, when's that ever going to happen?
You said recently that you want to see who's all in at the end of the season. When you see a game like this and there's still fight down 5-2.
Well, you know, obviously you're looking for certain situations, certain people, certain, you know, you know, I thought our captain was really good tonight. I thought Quinn was so good. Played a lot of, I don't even know what he played, but I thought he controlled a lot of the play. He took it upon himself to will the game, and I think everybody kind of jumped on his back.
That is Canucks head coach Rick Tocchet at the podium, brought to you by Tile Town. Proudly Canadian-owned and operated since 1971, visit any of their three locations and talk to their in-house design consultants or visit them online at mytiletown.ca. So the head coach, obviously pleased, loved the fight in the third, character win for the team. You know, mentioned on Mancini, lots of tools, have to keep working with him, young kid. And mention how big this was for the young guys to be part of a game like this and the guys not hanging their heads, being enthusiastic, pushing towards the end. And he feels like those things have value for the young guys especially.
Yeah, and it's good to see that there were, you know, wasn't a dispirited group even at 5-2, because it was an honest effort even to get it to 3-2. And you think, okay, you get that mental engagement back in the game, and yeah, Bork and Granlund, you know, quote unquote, ice it at that stage. But there's you flip that switch in that moment, and said, okay, we've tried and pushed this as far as we can, but you're still in it. And then just the flurry of goals there from Ratu, Suter, fantastic. See, and again, the young guys doing it. It's Mancini, it's Ratu, providing some big moments. Ratu also with an assist on that Mancini goal, and Linus Karlsson. You got contributions from everywhere today. Obviously, Quinn Hughes, Connor Garland feature heavily. But fantastic to see just the overall contributions.
Yeah, a lot of guys contributed, and we have a lot of positive performances to outline and talk about in this game, which is something that, you know, didn't quite look like was going to be the case, especially as a second period was drawing towards an end, but it changed dramatically heading into the third. And, you know, he spoke about Mancini, but didn't go into detail. I know Russ called in about DPD, and, you know, the fact that he was battling the way he did and going head-to-head with Rantanen, we talked about that during the intermission too, that, you know, that's a sign during the second that this is a kid who's not afraid of any challenge. And the fact that he doesn't get intimidated is a real positive. And I'd say maybe that's one of the bigger takeaways from the young guys, so to speak, that none of them looked like they're intimidated. You know, Mancini had some tough moments. And I know Bish from Nanaimo texted in and said, loved his game. We have something in him. Russ, and somebody else called in and brought up Mancini. And I think he's a guy that has a lot of positives to his game, but still very raw, but none of them look like they're afraid of the moment.
Right. You know, that's an awesome sign. You know, DPD in particular, because you see the physicality and it's a direct translate to, you know, this team needs some bite. And on the back end, for him to provide it right now, that's massive. And especially as you're part of this development path, you know, with Mancini, it's, can you stick to what your game is and not be shook by other factors that are happening around the ice? And so there was moments defensively where, you know, Sam Steele races around him, gets this great chance. There was just other, you know, potential spots to get your confidence down. But then how do you respond where your game is, where your strengths lie in your game? And, you know, I like that the goal, not just that he got it, but, you know, he gets that puck and he kind of has to skate backwards and shimmy into a new spot to find a shooting angle to get that off. And he pulls it off. And you see, like, that's the mobility that we talk about. Of it looks easy for him and he can go in all four directions. And he gets that shot off through the screen there from Linus Karlsson to the back post. And you just see, like, he's always got his abilities on display in the offensive zone.
Yeah, and I think that poise is very positive, and Mancini showed it with his shot as well, getting that through. And we'll break the goals down, but the young guys, really good on that play. Karlsson or Ratu to get it up, and Mancini, obviously, and then Karlsson heading towards the net to set the screen. Man, I'm just really impressed with Linus Karlsson. Like, more and more I see, the more and more I like, and we'll talk about that coming up in a bit.
And it's not huge minutes either, but
it's just effective minutes, and it's size, and it's winning in the areas that this team needs to win at, especially given how they play hockey.
It's under 11 minutes. minutes again today, and it feels like a player that is earning more minutes. I'm just curious how Rick Tocchet is going to find more minutes for him.
Yeah, and we'll see. I think for next offseason and next training camp, I'm really curious to see how he's going to fit in and whether he can actually force his way onto the roster.
We had a text earlier that says, like, real NHL player from Linus Karlsson. It just adds to the bodies there in the bottom six all of a sudden.
Well,
but
they have a lot of guys that can vie for those bottom of the lineup spots. Yeah. It's can somebody graduate higher? But for the time being, you have a lot of these guys that are fighting for those spots.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a lot of bodies in there.
Yeah, there are a lot of guys. Palmer and Ladner says, on Tocchet, I thought our captain was good. What level of bar does Huggy have to play to get a compliment? Elite NHL player. I mean, he's incredible, Quinn Hughes is. But I think what he's alluding to is that the last few games, Quinn hasn't been at his best. Mm-hmm. Like he's looked like he's really, you know, struggling to play through injury or whatever it is, right? He was a lot more effective tonight. I thought so too. And, you know, maybe the coach is just pointing that out. And, you know, I know a lot of people want Hughes to get shut down. We brought it up. And
wait, didn't he give him a big compliment here?
He just did. He talks about it. He said, Rick says, I thought our captain was good. What level bar does Huggy have to play to get a compliment, elite NHL player? Just the point that he mentioned Huggy tonight.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's one of those things where, not to blame him, but he wasn't making the same impact the last few games. Mm-hmm. And tonight, especially in the second half of the game, he was really good.
Certainly. 650. Also from Palmer. Says, I hope Talk saw something tonight that pushes him to stay here. It's a fantastic fight by the team. That's Rick Talk. It's kind of heart from the team. And yeah, you see that spirit all the way there. Kent from Coquitlam. What a comeback. Atu Ratu, huge piece for us next season. This comeback doesn't happen without his brilliant face-off skill, the tying goal. Beauty, right from winning the face-offs. Fish Dancer says, I just want closure.
Yeah, just want closure. You're not quite there yet. Who knows, but not quite there yet. All right, keep your thoughts coming into our text inbox. Let's take a phone call here before we hit the break, and let's go to Abbotsford, where we have our friend Ryan on the line. Ryan, thanks for calling in. What are your thoughts here tonight?
I just wanted to say, you know, I haven't watched the game at all. I got into my car just before the end of the second period, find out we get pumped for three straight power play goals, and I was like, it's over. I go home, I talk to my and also I check the phone, and it's 5-5. And I am, like, super stoked to go home and watch the third period. But that being said, Tocchet has to be excited to stick around with some of these guys and see what they can do, because they're doing what he wants them to do. They're fighting, and I know the Canucks aren't making the playoffs. I'm a realist. But just like Lloyd Christmas says, you're saying there's a chance. So thanks, buddies. Have a good one. It's been great listening to all the words and how the players are playing, and actually now going to watch the game here in a little bit. Have a good one, guys. Thank you.
Appreciate it. That's Ryan calling in from Abbotsford. And again,
he's going to be hyped, man.
It's
5-2 goal goes in on his rewatch. He's like, yes.
I knew that was coming.
He's doing the reverse. He's calling the postgame show first, and then he's going to watch the game, but he knows the result.
Yeah. You know what? I've done that
however
before.
However you fan.
Yeah. I mean, so like, you know, I watch Chelsea European soccer. This happened time before where I woken up and missed the game because the game was on at 4 a.m. or whatever, and then someone spoils the score, but I still watch it, especially if they win. I'm like, nice. I know the score, but I'm gonna sit down and watch to see how it all unfolded, right? So I understand that excitement, but it's one of those games that, like, it doesn't matter whether you're making the playoffs or not. It was just something that's never happened in NHL history, and a reminder for why you watch the games down the stretch, even if you don't think the team is going where you want them to go.
Yeah, like, this is gonna be a sports story tomorrow. Right, you're three scores down, a minute to go. This is like T-Mac hitting all those threes.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Great,
like,
call,
it's one of those moments. It, like, you don't see this.
No.
And so this is just like an unreal. What was it? How far were the Rockets back? Were they like 12 down or something like that?
Yes,
they were
like
16 down with like 20 seconds
or
to
like
go.
Reggie Miller against the
Knicks. Yeah, against the Knicks.
Yeah.
It's one of those moments. It's a huge sports moment.
You have like
moment.
20 seconds to go, and somehow, you know, you pull off this incredible comeback. And it's unreal. Like, so when the Canucks were down a goal, it was 28 seconds left.
Yeah, it was 13 points in 35 seconds from Tracy McGrady.
That's insane.
Yeah. So, like, it's one of those moments. It's going to stand the test of time. We had a text coming to be like, no one's going to break this record. Yeah, it's going to be near impossible to break this record.
Listen, the NHL's been, like, this is like over 100 years of games. This has happened once.
Yeah. Stunning. Okay.
Like, honestly, this
I know we're paid to talk. Vic, I don't know. It hasn't, like, fully gelled in my head to, like, wait, what just happened?
Let me contextualize this for you. This was more unlikely than Gretzky's record being broken.
I don't know. Is that true?
Because it's never happened before, right?
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying, it's something that's never happened before. Like, there's no statistical...
Two people have scored 894 goals.
But I'm saying, like, the record's been broken. Yeah. Bobby from the Docks. Guys, where was this all year? Fun to watch, but a little too late. And that's a sentiment we're
breaking
getting a
lot of. Breaking my brain, your fake stat there.
I'm just saying. Like, it's something that's never happened before. And, like, we've known that Ovechkin's going to break the record here for a few years. Like, we're all still shocked that he did it, but we all knew it was going to happen.
This is Sat with his, like, infinite monkey cage analogies.
Yes,
here.
It is, 100%.
Sat loves this sort of stuff.
I love the infinite monkey cage analogy, but we're not going to do that right now. Ames and North Van, where the hell has this fight been all year? Again, a lot of people texting in that.
There is a lot of frustration at the same time. as much as there's euphoria, there's a lot of frustration simultaneously.
It's a little dark, but this says, this feels like the euphoric few hours right before a loved one dies, and I'm here for it. But very, very, very dark. But, you know, that's what you're getting into text in the box. You get a bit of everything. We don't call this a therapy session for no reason. People get, very deep and personal about what they're seeing here, right? John in West Kelowna, I love this seriously depleted lineup at the end of the season. This Canucks team has been fun to watch. Really hope they can carry this over to next year. It's tough to end the season, but I see a lot of positives with this team lately, John in West Kelowna. And, Ryan mentioned, is he seeing enough positives, Rick Tocchet, with the players and things that are going on with the young guys that he'll want to be here? Do you see the progress or the potential of some of these young players playing, being a factor for the head coach?
Well, I think, too, like... Not even just the head coach, but what kind of message is this for Quinn Hughes too, right? Because if you look at some of the young players, you're like, you know what? These guys got something here. They can hang in the league. Does it buy you some time in the whole conversation of Quinn Hughes? Do you have to go big spending this summer to say, like, look the steps we're taking? Because we've chatted about this. Like, what's the right path this summer? Do you sacrifice your first round pick and say we have to go get something now, or maybe tap into a prospect like a DPD? Or do you say, like, just bear with it, like, these guys just need a little bit more seasoning, and these moments here, again, I know it's the end of season, all this, but these moments, are they enough flashes to say just bear with us for 7 months and let's see what happens over the course of the season? These guys, as they grow, do we have something special building here?
The best case scenario for this team is to not have to feel like they have to be desperate this offseason.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you have to be desperate to keep Quinn, you roll the dice and you face it.
But the most prudent plan.
But you're right. The best case scenario is that Quinn buys into your plan, buys into what's going on with the young guys, and is willing to commit and play it out. That's the best case scenario.
It's high risk.
But the problem with it too is that he can say all of the right things now, but because he's a year away from having to sign anyways, depending on how right now, and I don't want to take the win out of anybody's sails here, but we talked about this before where you see a lot of end of season things from young players that look really good.
Yes.
And it's so hard to translate that to next season. So all the enthusiasm and all the positives that we have about these young guys, and especially because you're thinking of their potential, and it's difficult not to think of their best versions and think of them hitting their potential. And it's easy to, in your mind, think that these guys are all going to be good, or a lot of them are going to be good. But then reality sets in because you see guys struggle. And to your point, development takes a lot of twists and turns.
Correct.
Before they get to the finish line. So you can feel really good about things today. And if next year doesn't go your way and the young guys, some of that shine wears off, you might feel different about the plan. So I'm here with you, but I'm not sure that if that's the plan he says okay to, that it's going to give you the assurance you need to convince him to actually stay for next year. But that is the best case scenario, that you keep your young guys. Absolutely.
I will say, because when we had this conversation on Sunday, you know, there was no prospects in the pipeline. And, you know, we've sat here and talked about this guy becoming X, Y, and Z. And it's put pressure on players in the past in roles that they probably couldn't fulfill. Top four, top six roles. But if you're looking at the defense right now, again, the baseline and right now the ceiling for someone like DPD is, can you fulfill a third pairing role? It's stacked up already ahead of him. It's not, can we push this guy to a top four role? It's Quinn Hughes is there, Marcus Pedersen is there. And there's nothing you're going to do to leapfrog those guys because there's NHL pedigree there. So it's, can you fill a third line role or a third pair role? You know, for Victor Mancini and Tom Willander when he gets here soon. There's Hronek, there's Myers. Can you fulfill a third pair role? And then in that situation, the onus on like huge development leaps is really torqued down because it's roles that you can manage.
Yeah.
And if there's veterans, you can take them out of the lineup and, you know, here comes Forbert or whatever it is. It's different stakes than what we talked about 3 years ago when it would be like Brogan Rafferty coming or whatever, whoever it was.
Right.
This guy, he's got top four potential because there was space there to go up the lineup. That doesn't really exist in this current group for these D-men.
No, there are legitimate, proper roadblocks in front of them. And I don't mean roadblocks. Sometimes they're bad roadblocks. Like, these are roadblocks that are like, hey, they're
hurdles.
Fighting each other.
Hurdles that they're meant to overcome.
Yes, you have to overcome. And it's like, hey, these are guys you got to beat out. And you want to see them beat those players.
It's
out,
the value of that internal competition.
Precisely. Let's take one more phone call. We were talking about, people not getting a chance to watch the game live but know the score. But let's go to Scott, who's the Uber driver. And Scott, I hear that you can't wait to watch this game.
No, I deliver Uber at night. I tape the games, and when I get home in the morning about 5 o'clock, then I get to watch the game. And I just can't wait to watch this game when I get home in the morning.
Yeah.
It sounded so fantastic.
No, it really was. And we appreciate it. Do you have any other thoughts on the game? Or on listening to the game?
Well, our power play, or their power play, you know, our defense on the power plays have been so good up till tonight.
Yeah.
We were just lucky from the sound of it.
Yeah, there was a lot. Yeah, I know you're going to enjoy watching that third period, especially, Scott. But I appreciate you calling in. Call back anytime and be safe out there tonight. That's Scott calling in. So, yeah, enthusiastic to go home and watch this game. And, I mean, I wish I knew. I'm so glad that we got to experience this hockey game now.
I wish I could watch it again for the first time.
But also, like, I wish that people could, like, well, I guess there might be evidence of it, but our enthusiasm for the game shifted dramatically from how we felt about watching this game and what we were going to talk about to
what happened. It was dire. It was 3-0. It was over.
And it was like, oh, man, we're going to do this death march type of post game. And the fact that we're not has me very, very happy. All right, keep your thoughts coming into our text in the box. You can grab a phone line if you wish as well. And we'll get to more analysis. We'll break the goals down, hear from Canuck players, plus iMac from Dallas.
Can hopefully. We hear from Stars too?
We might. We're here with Pete. We have a couple of guys because, I mean, maybe you got to hear what Pete DeBoer has to say. Pete DeBoer has usually been pretty good after losses against the Canucks when he's been a former with the opposition. So we'll see what he has to say here. After 6-5, yes, 6-5 Canucks comeback victory, making NHL history, being down 3 goals with under a minute to go, and they come back to defeat the Stars in overtime. And this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Let Kubota do your heavy lifting. Visit them online at dleamc.com. More next on Sportsnet 650.
Canucks Talk with Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drantz. We'll dive deep into all that's happening with the Vancouver Canucks. Listen 12 to 2 p.m. on Sportsnet 650 or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Canucks Central Postgame Show.
Join the discussion on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650
and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
And they win the faceoff, and there goes Demko to the bench. Ratu got it back to Hughes. Left wing, they dump it into the Dallas end. Hronek right corner after the puck. It's tied up on the boards. Canucks trying to dig it free. And Besser gets it loose up the near side. 10 seconds left to Garland to the point. Left point, Hughes long. Wrist shot deflected wide of the goal. Rebound for Hronek in front. They score! It's Pius Suter in the slot with 5.2 seconds left. And they're not dead yet. Suter's got his second goal in the final minute of the third. And it's 5-5.
They actually did it down 5-2 mere minutes ago.
I'm just really happy because me and my whole family went to the game and I couldn't believe it. All these Dallas fans are just like left and it was like the craziest thing ever because like everybody just thought they won. We all were just yelling. It was just the best feeling. So I feel like Casey DeSmith is probably still a Canucks person.
Great stuff. Ray calling in from Dallas at the game, watching the Canucks come back historically.
Inspire the youth. And that's why you compete all the way.
And trash.
You inspire the youth.
And even threw a dig in at the end, too.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. A little spice and taunting the Dallas Stars fan. Hey, you guys lost. You guys left the arena. You lost. Did you know you lost?
Excellent.
Oh, that's unreal. Unreal. Great stuff. And this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show on Sportsnet 650 on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Keep your thoughts coming into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650 on the postgame show. Leaf says, haven't been eliminated, but on their way to being DeSmith earlier in the game, but I was confident I could leave the game being up 3-0 versus Columbus. Predictably unpredictable. Remember that game? Canucks were up 3-0 against Columbus and ended up losing that game. And that was the 7-6 loss.
Boy, do we ever. Boy, do we ever.
Two multi-goal leads in that one.
Yeah.
Pumpkin Spice Boy says, is this the post-game show or is it Coast to Coast AM? Way too much supernatural activity happening on these airwaves tonight. Spiritual advisor texting in. And I think that's how people feel, like there was something divine or something spooky going on with the game here tonight in Dallas, where history was made. First time a team has ever come back from a 3-goal deficit with under a minute to go. Like it's
what do the cosmos say about April 8th? Is there something?
I don't know. That's too pseudosciencey. I don't know.
Come on, you're into the quantum stuff.
Well, quantum stuff, but like I'm not into. I thought you were talking about like you know signs and all that sort of stuff.
I don't know. Yeah,
that's more super
wild stuff. we got a text earlier. I'm really really sorry if I've lost it here. Of who sent it in. So what's the situation for the Friday game about Calgary and Minnesota? Seems like a lose-lose scenario.
Well,
the scenario is really easy. You need Minnesota to lose.
Well, before we even get to that, you need Minnesota to lose against San Jose tomorrow.
Minnesota has to lose out.
Yeah, they do. But I mean, before that game even matters for the Canucks, they have to lose against San Jose tomorrow. Noah texted it and said, we're still alive until at the same time tomorrow.
Correct.
Because they are playing the San Jose Sharks at home.
But points are guaranteed to be issued in that Calgary-Minnesota game, obviously.
Yes.
But you can't have Minnesota win a game.
No, you also can't have Minnesota pick up a point.
Yeah.
They can't pick up a single point. They have to lose in regulation. Now, the positive thing is the Minnesota Wild have lost.
No, hang on. Minnesota can pick up a point because they're at 92. Canucks can get to 93. Sorry, Minnesota's at 91. They pick up a point. They go to 92.
92, right. 93, yes. Right. They can win a game, right.
Yeah. Oh, he took away 0.5% from me.
0.5%. I think, what is it, Money Puck has them at 0.1% now to make the playoffs?
Is that an upgrade? It's gone up.
It went from nearly zero to 0.1.
It went from 0.14 to 0.17.
Yeah, you're right. So they can pick up. They can pick up 1 point.
Yeah,
Minnesota can pick up 1 point.
But obviously, there's going to be points in that. But you can't have Minnesota get two in the rest of the season.
No, honestly, that game they had against Dallas, they were down 1-0. They were losing in regulation. They won in overtime.
This is what Dallas does.
That's what Dallas does. They blow it.
Please don't leave yet. That's what Dallas needs.
Why? I mean, are we all of a sudden fading Dallas in the playoffs based on what we've seen here?
No, I'm actually still picking them.
They're going to be good. From
major ick.
Yes.
It major ick to lose.
Now, it was an Ottinger in net. They don't have a Heiskanen. They don't have much to play for. They're up 5-2. They were kind of cruising, and maybe a good lesson for them. Franz in Red Deer says, watch the game tonight with my kids, and this was a great lesson for them to never give up, even if it looks hopeless. It ain't over till it's over. Go Canucks.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Love it.
Yeah, I love it. Good enthusiasm. Burnaby K says, it's so nice to watch a meltdown game with the Canucks when the Canucks are not the ones who are melting down. That's also very true. Burnaby K, the spider rescuer, so rescue spiders.
Is that a profession or is that a nickname?
I don't know. Who knows? Who knows?
Interesting. Text back in.
But we all know people, whether it's like a significant other or a friend that like refuses to kill insects. So they come to the house, they're like, well, we have to like grab them one way or another and like shoot them out of the house.
I chuck them out of the house.
I generally do.
Yeah.
Yeah, unless they like sneak up on you out of nowhere.
Spiders, I don't know. So much. Actually, no, I try to do with spiders as well.
Try to do the best we can.
Mosquitoes, not so much. I got a bad relationship with mosquitoes.
Bick, all right, you know what? Let's get to the goals.
Yeah.
Let's rally through this quick. We got to get to some player audio on the other side, plus iMac, and it was the Dallas Stars. You want to skip? Let's skip the Dallas Stars goals because they scored 3-0.
They lost.
They lost, exactly. Screw them. They were up 3-0. Three of those goals were scored on the power play. So the Canucks, they come back in the third. They're down 3-0, and they are on the power play. The Canucks drew a penalty late in the second period. Aturatu being cross-checked by Matt Dumba, and Jake DeBrusk had a really good chance in the slot at the end of the second period, did not cash in, but he cashes in off the rush to get the Canucks back in the game.
Yeah, and it's a quick up by Quinn Hughes up to Connor Garland to get the entry, and Jake DeBrusk in flight takes his pass from Connor Garland and in one motion goes wide around the Bushkin, and DeSmith looked like he was anticipating a shot, so he's sliding across, and as he cuts below the line, tucks it back in front. I don't know if it was intended or if he was looking for a pass. Nevertheless, it goes off the left skate, and Casey DeSmith knocks it into his own net.
Yeah, it's a really nice bank shot by DeBrusk. Looked like that's what he was trying to do.
I think it was a shot, an attempt to get it in.
I agree with that. But only 17 seconds into the third frame, and the Canucks did draw a penalty. Teddy Bluger sacrificing his face, taking a high stick to draw a double minor. And with just 3 seconds to go in the first portion of the double minor, Bick, the Vancouver Canucks cash in. Victor Mancini's point shot goes through, and a lot of good work from Ratu and Carlson along the boards, and Carlson getting to the net on the screen, but a lot of good work in general to lead up to that play.
Yeah, Carlson too before this. Like, Hoglander's moving downhill. He goes low to Carlson, and he sweeps a puck in front, kind of a net jam, doesn't go in. There's a battle in the corner. Ratu pokes it away. And he gets up, or sorry, Carlson pokes it away to Ratu. He gets to Mancini, and we talked about this. Just having that ability to kind of motion backwards, find a new shooting angle, rips this shot, and Carlson's screening. He gets to Smith looking on the near side, puck goes on the far side, and there's your second goal.
Yeah, and the Canucks were within a goal. And after that, I mean, the Canucks had some chances, and DeSmith looked a little bit shaky, but he was making a lot of big stops, and it seemed like it was going to run out for the Vancouver Canucks, because as much as they got in and there was still over 15 minutes to go, for the next, 12 minutes, they weren't able to generate enough. They weren't able to really break through, and it looked like the game was put out of reach when Maverick Bork made it a two-goal game with just under 3 minutes to go in the third period. And it looked like the game was over at that point.
Are we doing the Bork goal? Or are we just going to move on to all Canucks goals?
Well, yeah, let's move on. So they scored that goal to make it 4-2. And then it looked like it was really done. 24 seconds later, when the Canucks pulled their goalie, Mikael Granlund, into an empty net. I mean, it's 5-2, right? There's a minute to go in the third period. What's going to happen in this hockey game?
The E was going next to their name.
It was loading. And then Aturatu decided to make it interesting.
Yeah, Marcus Pedersen picks the puck off of Wyatt Johnson, picks the pocket, and feeds Ratu, and he just...
A simple play.
Yeah, rips it. Yeah.
But a nice play from Pedersen that you see that his defense turn to offense. A good
coming off
him.
A rebound. Yeah, he stuck with it.
He did a really good job. And then Pew Suter. Pew, pew. I mean, cashing in. I mean, cha-ching. There you go. The sound effect coming through. And, I mean, what has this guy not done this season ever since injuries have happened? As I mentioned, 19 points in his last 20 games. 2 goals tonight. His first of those 2 goals brought the Canucks within one with 30 seconds to go in the game, Beck.
Yeah, his 23rd goal of the season. Garland does great work on this. Yeah. He has a fake shot and walks around Esa Lindell, who's a fantastic shutdown D-man, just hooks it inside to Suter and he slides it in.
Yeah, it's a nice play by Pew Suter, but Connor Garland's good work, and we'll get to Garland on the game-winning goal. And then Pew Suter, with under 6 seconds to go, ties the game. Philip Peronic and Quinn Hughes with the helpers. And the thing I love the most about that goal is you see Connor Garland jumping like 7 feet in the air, celebrating.
Huge
going to the boards. Great celly by Connor Garland, but Pew Suter cashes in, man.
There's two cross-ice passes here, one through the neutral zone, then it's chipped into the far corner, and they win that puck from the corner. It goes to Quinn Hughes at the left point. His shot just misses. Hronek is there on the rebound, just throws it out front. It just lands on Pew Suter's stick, and he looks surprised. Like, did that even go in? As his shot goes towards the net, and Garland knew because he was... leaping for joy over there at the huge comeback.
Yeah, great, great feed from Filip Hronek, and great work from Quinn Hughes on that shift with only seconds to go to tie the game. And then in overtime, the Canucks got a penalty. Pew Suter draws a penalty, gets a slashing call on Mikko Rantanen, I think it was, right? And it was one of those games that there was a couple weak calls. There was that Sherwood slash on Bischel in the first period, and I thought the Rantanen call was similarly weak on Pew Suter. It looked like he got stick.
The Dumba one, it wasn't even that severe either way.
It was bad officiating. Yeah. Like, there were some bad calls both ways, but the Canucks got a chance on the 4-on-3, but were not able to cash in. But they kept the pressure on, and Connor Garland was some magic behind the net, Bick.
Yeah, the Canucks were pressuring. There's play down low, Hronek, and Garland steals the puck from below the line on Dumba and just quickly centers it to Sherwood. And imagine Stars players' heads were spinning trying to locate Kiefer Sherwood, but their heads were spinning anyways because they've blown a 3-goal lead, and Sherwood buries it. And suddenly, Kiefer Sherwood coming up close to a cha-ching goal himself. He's got 18 now.
My guy. So we joked a lot about, like, somebody, I forget who it was that had the dig. He's not going to get 300 goals sat, but, you know,
right.
he's had a really good season. So my thing on him was he'll score over 14 goals. I'm taking the over if you put the over-under at 14.5.
He's clearing it easily
and
right
I thought, like, 15 to 20 is the range, and the 20 would be, like, the high end, would be a really good year from him. He might get there. Only two more needed. But even if he doesn't, I mean, 18 goals, you're essentially a 20-goal guy getting paid $1.5 million. And you broke the NHL record for hits. And his fifth game-winning goal for the Canucks, almost every goal he's scored has been a big one.
So also assist 29 for Connor Garland, puts him at 48 points on the season. So he's got an outside shot to get to 50. Also, his career high is 52 in his first year in Vancouver.
So we'll talk about the three stars of the game. Plus, we'll get to some player audio and iMac on the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Miss any part of Halford and Brough in the morning? Subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcast and don't miss an episode.
This is where you talk Canucks. You're listening to the Canucks Central Postgame Show on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Vancouver in white is skidding from left to right. Dallas in green is going from right to left. And here's Garland speeding into the star zone. Left circle for DeBrus driving the goal. He scores! Jake DeBrus from below the goal line banked it off Casey DeSmith and in. So the Canucks were listening. They score a goal on the power play just 17 seconds into the third to make it 3-1.
And there's that desperation as the Canucks attack with speed. Connor Garland coming down the right-hand side plays a cross-ice feed to Jake DeBrus. And this is such a smart play as DeBrus sees Casey DeSmith commit. But he leaves a little bit of room and just knocks the puck off his left skate into the net and makes this a 3-1 goal. But that is Jake DeBrus thinking very quickly, reacting to what he sees from the goaltender and getting another goal here on the power play.
Canucks historically come back 6-5 win in overtime over the Dallas Stars, and this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. It's Sat and Bick on Sportsnet 650, and the Canucks can't believe what they watched. Angry Rick says, I gotta say, as much as I know they're done, that was awesome. Well done, guys. Angry Rick. Quinn says, that was so Canucks, I'm still dying thinking about what happened. Mike in Thunder Bay, wow, score was 4-2 when I walked into a BP to place a takeout order, then 5-2. They made it 5-5 when I got my food, and wow, nice finish. Charlie, the bartender, said it all started with me watching.
There you go.
Mike from Thunder Bay getting an assist for the Canucks comeback.
You know, we talked the other day, too, on Saturday after they had scored 5 in a period against Anaheim. It's like, oh, that's so difficult. They've only done it 37 times in franchise history.
Yeah.
Took all of 2 games to do it again.
So stupid.
All of 2 games. The sports, 38th time in history they've scored 5 in a period.
I love it. So this is the team, the Canucks team that's had the most trouble ever coming back from deficits, and they just came back from a historic deficit. It's just funny how sports work sometimes. Grimace and Ladner, I was walking my dog and checked it at 5-2. Walk 5 minutes home. And my wife says, it's 5-5 as I walk in the door. I said, yeah, sure, whatever. Walk around the corner to the TV. What? Grimace and Ladner. Yeah, that's essentially what happened.
What? One of those ones.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. But yeah, keep your thoughts coming into our text inbox, 650-650, and we'll hit some more of those. And Bernie BK said that he just, you know, tries to relocate all insects except for mosquitoes.
Yeah.
And Chris and Duncan calls Bick the mosquito relocator. Got mosquitoes? Call 1-800-BICK-RELOCATE.
Don't be trying to relocate me.
That is funny. All right. We'll get to some more of your texts here as the show goes on. But we wanted to get to some player audio after a historic comeback. And the man who scored the game-winning goal was Kiefer Sherwood. And before we get to the three stars, let's get to Kiefer Sherwood here. And here he is post-game with Olivia McDonald.
Let's start. Take us through that moment in overtime when you score the goal.
I mean, it's 4-4, so we're just trying to possess it and see what kind of openings we can get. And, I mean, half the time... You just want to get it in Huggy's hands, you know. But after we lost the puck, I think Gar just made an absolute crazy play and kind of felt like slow motion. He just got his head up and already put it on my tape and wheelhouse and, just put it in.
Your thoughts on the battle from the team tonight, just coming back in that third period to tie it and send it to overtime?
Yeah, it's not the first time. It's crazy, the resilience. I don't know. I've never been part of a team that's just... has so many crazy comebacks and so much roller coaster come from behinds. It says a lot about the group and the quality of players. When adversity hits, we just dig in and guys are able to execute and make stuff happen.
What was the energy like in the locker room after this one?
A little crazy, probably a little bit of relief, but just credit to all the guys, obviously, and Demmer, just keeping us in it. And like I said, just a huge, huge character and resiliency, and guys just continue to put their best foot forward and just show up to work every day.
You've got another one on this road trip as well. How do you carry this momentum into that?
Yeah, obviously fresh slate come 2 days in Colorado. So we'll feel good about this, but then we got to move on and start to prepare for the next one. We know each and every game right now is crucial. So we just control what we can and focus on one game at a time.
That's Kiefer Sherwood, his 18th of the campaign, game-winning goal for the Canucks in overtime. And, you know, sometimes a guy scores a game-winning goal and he is a third, one of the three stars, and sometimes a first star. And as much as I want to give Kiefer Sherwood a star, can't do it here tonight. So let's get to the three stars of this game, brought to you by Angry Otter Liquor. Get your mitts on your game day favorites at Angry Otter Liquor. And the third star of the game, we have to give a Dallas star a star because they did score 5 goals. They did have the lead. And it's Mikael Granlund. He had a 3-point performance, so he is the game's third star pick.
And I don't think he was on the ice for any of the final goals of games.
So you can't blame him. He's like, I did my job, man.
He's like, I'm out here getting 3 points. I did what I needed to do.
Yeah.
What happened the rest of the way? No, he was not on the ice for the rest of the 4 goals thereafter.
Yeah, he was a +1 on the evening, and that was actually a rarity because a lot of guys were minuses on the Dallas Stars with how that game
unfolded. A lot of power play goals tonight, obviously, yeah. Right? The first... 5 goals of this game were all power play goals.
Yeah. So a lot of man advantage moments. Mikael Granlund is a third star of this game, 3 points in this one. And he was the guy with the most points on the evening. Nobody else had 3 points. Garland had 2.
Garland had 3.
No, Garland had, you're right. Garland ends up getting that. I think they gave him the assist on, initially they hadn't given him the assist yet on the third goal, on the game winning goal, which was to Kiefer Sherwood. Mm-hmm. And he has been now rewarded that assist. Connor Garland, incredible for the Canucks and the playmaker. I mean, he didn't get a goal, but if it wasn't for him, the Canucks would not have come back in this hockey game.
Certainly not. And, strong defensive play as well to create the Kiefer Sherwood goal and typical Connor Garland performance.
Yeah.
Just grinding away and making a couple of clutch plays.
An epic celebration on the Pugh Suter game-winning goal. Just outstanding seeing him fly in behind the frame after Suter had tied the game up at 5-5. And yes, Pugh Suter scores 2 goals, ties the game for the Canucks. The 2 goals to tie it. They were down 5-3 when he scored to make it 5-4, and then the 5-5 goal. And he is your first star of the game.
Got the goals. Had the composure, right? Being in the right spot at the right time in those tight situations, he's still got to bury those. If he doesn't put them in, they're not. We're not sitting here talking about a 6-5 OT win, so we'll give him to P.U. Suter for the first star.
Yeah, so P.U. Suter is the first star of the game presented by Angry Otter Liquor. Now, Quinn says, Texan, I thought Matt Duchene was the best player, was the best star in the game. Fair. I thought Duchene was good. Duchene just looks so different with the Dallas Stars. I mean, It's pretty astonishing that the player we've seen this year for Dallas got bought out by the Nashville Predators.
He's been so good. I know that we get a lot of texts from people who be like, hey, is Duchene an option?
I don't think he's coming.
He's signed deals in Dallas twice now. Just to stay there. Like I can't imagine he's going anywhere.
But he doesn't look like the same player. Like he really struggled with Nashville, and he looks completely different. He's agile. He's quick. He's making an impact offensively and defensively. I mean, his game has been outstanding. Like this is a career year for him. He has 81 points, Bic.
He's just like perfectly replaced Joe Pavelski.
This is the most points he's had in a season. Second most points. He had 86 points with Nashville a few years ago. I mean, it's funny. He had 86 points with Nashville, had one bad year, and gets bought out.
Yeah.
What's Nashville doing?
Just things. Just.
I don't even know.
Dog chasing cars.
It's just weird. Like, I know he had an off year, and they felt like they had to do some stuff, I suppose, right? But he's been fantastic for the Dallas Stars, so not a bad shout. Did not get a three-star shout from us, however.
Let's hear from Pete DeBoer.
You know what? Because we were talking about this.
Yeah.
And people wanted to hear from the Dallas Stars because how do you cough up a three-goal lead, especially against a team that's out of the playoff picture and you're a team that's supposed to be a contender? And Pete DeBoer has seen a lot of ghosts against the Vancouver Canucks in the past, even with former teams. We saw it in the playoffs against the Vegas Golden Knights when Thatcher Demko'd them almost and forced a game 7. And he spoke about how Demko scared the living offense out of them. They couldn't score after. They lost their mojo. And he lost his job not too long afterwards, too. I mean, he got through the year, but you know, and maybe that was the moment that things fell apart for Pete DeBoer. So Pete DeBoer saw ghosts again. The Canucks, an epic comeback, and here he is meeting with the media after a 6-5 loss against the Canucks for his Stars.
This one was unacceptable from this team, and especially at this time of year.
Yeah.
Do you agree with
this
assessment?
Yeah, I do. You know, thankfully it's not a playoff game. Hopefully we learn from it. We did. It's unfortunate because it's going to cloud some of the really good things we did tonight for big portions of that game. But you got to play for 60 minutes, and we didn't. And, you know, for whatever reason, we didn't execute down the stretch. So, you know, it's disappointing because we did put in some work tonight, you know, in a positive direction, I thought.
Go ahead. After you go up 5-2.
Yeah.
Was there a feeling that maybe the foot got let off the gas a little bit? Because
I don't know. You know what, I'll have to look at it. I didn't feel like that on the bench. We knew, you know, the 5-3 goal, we knew they were, you know, once they got that, they were going to pull the goalie again, you know, and just, you know, missed assignments at a critical time. So, yeah, tough. I've won and lost a lot of games in this league. I don't think I've ever, you know, lost one in that fashion before.
Part of the good things is when it was 5-3, you guys really had a couple of shifts there to make it 5-2.
Yeah.
4-2. What was that? I mean, just
yeah.
Like there was a real push by several lines to say this isn't going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? There was a lot of good stuff tonight. And I think after the sting, you know, leaves, I think, you know, we'll recognize that. But, you know, obviously, have to clean up the end of the game, and like I said, it'll be unfortunate if it costs us a conference title, you know, losing in overtime in Minnesota on a penalty, losing tonight the way we did. But sometimes you have to learn hard lessons, and you know, that's on us to respond the right way.
Pete DeBoer. Yeah, not happy. It would be a real shame if that is what cost them the conference title.
To be honest, like I kind of get the sentiment there of like the players know that they really punted this one. Well, so are you really going to take him to task in the media? He felt pretty measured there.
He did, but they were also lost the lead and lost an overtime against Minnesota. Obviously, not a 3-goal lead, but it's 2 games now. They've lost 2 points.
They have lost Ottawa this year recently. If they're meant to be a heavy in the Western Conference, they've lost to Pittsburgh, Minnesota, and now Vancouver in these last 3 games. So not peaking at the right time, as you would say. So after a nice little prolonged win streak, they've stepped in it here recently.
Yeah, Tyler Langley says, no credit given to the Canucks. That's sad. made it more about him. I mean, when you blow a 3-goal lead like that, I think you do make it more about yourself. Again, it's never happened in NHL history. And it's a non-playoff team that did it. We're not talking about like, hey, this was like, you know, the Colorado Avalanche with Nathan MacKinnon, Makar, and Natchez and all these guys dancing around and coming back. Like it's Pugh Suter and Atu Ratu and Victor Mancini, guys coming back and it's fulfilling
people,
this comeback.
Myself included, who had eliminated tweets lined up. I sent them after Granlund put that goal in. And alas, the Canucks snatch a game truly from the jaws of defeat.
Yeah, there's a...
Yeah, as Eddie tweeted... You can cancel those towel orders just yet.
Yeah, you can. It's not over yet.
Still alive.
Yeah. This text here from Basketball Phil. All Canucks games are similar. All Canucks games are different.
Hard to dispute. Stealing my tweet, but hard to dispute right now. Yeah.
Good stuff.
And Basketball Phil texted in earlier, which is the bigger collapse? Duke, Houston, or...
This.
Or this. I mean, it's got to be this.
I mean, Houston was up by 12. Nothing crazy.
It's got to be this one.
It's got to be this. Again, it's never happened.
Never happened.
I mean, you know how we say point to scoreboard? It's like the ultimate scoreboard. This has never happened before.
Michael
never.
Granlund scores, just points to the scoreboard, and Kiefer Sherwood points to the scoreboard. Doesn't even make sense.
It's unreal. It's unreal. Okay, I wanted to... To East Van Tommy, DP reminds me of my favorite Canuck defenseman of the past, Matthias Olin. He's a keeper for sure. East Van Tommy, others texting in and saying, you guys can't trade this guy. He's becoming a real fan favorite. Rust called in earlier and he couldn't say good things about him as well. So I think that's...
especially in contrast to of this team is lacking in physicality. And there he is taking on a fantastic player in Mikko Rantanen. It was a very obvious penalty, but he also drew Mikko Rantanen into cross-checking him. But you see that confidence coming from DPD. We talked about it with in the intermission, like the play against Nazem Kadri, having that confidence to step up in that moment to deliver a clean, devastating blow. And you know he's bringing some edge to a team that probably desperately needs it as well.
Yeah. No, and they need an edge like that, and he does provide it. And we saw him go, you know, I wouldn't say toe-to-toe or rant on him, but there's a big, intimidating guy, and he's not intimidated by anybody.
It's not just a star player. It's a big star player. He's a house out there.
He is, and he's not afraid of getting into it with people.
Again, it's away from the play, and it's interference. It's definitely a penalty, but he kind of knocked him over with some ease there, too. So DPD building bricks himself into a house.
Yeah. Yeah, unreal stuff. You know what? Let's get to the man we call the Triple Threat. He was in Dallas. He did bear witness to NHL history. We call him the Triple Threat for a reason. You watch him on TV. You read him on digital. About to hear him on radio. He is Ian McIntyre.
You know, fellas, I actually wrote 2 columns tonight. And the first one, much like the essay I had prepared for the Canucks winning Game 7 of the Stanley Cup, will never see the light of day.
I've never asked you about that. You probably do have a story about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we deadlines, especially games on the West Coast, you always had to be prepared. And of course, in the really big moments, you know it goes one way or another.
Yeah,
right.
It's not hard to get started, and I was well started when it was 3-0 on an obituary of the Canucks season. But you know, I'm happy for them that they get this moment and they get another day. And I think the key thing, and it's one of the things that I'm talking about in my column about to be filed for Sportsnet, and that I was talking to players about, and they were very on board with the premise, is that as trite as it may seem, you know, to win a game so you get eliminated potentially on a Wednesday instead of a Tuesday with another week to go in the season, the way that the Canucks came back tonight can have some benefits especially for the young players who were involved beyond this season. We know the season is not going to end well whenever it does end, but there's things from this game that players, we hope, will take away.
Yeah, and I mean, it was one of those things that you're right, and Talk has spoke about that too. And as far as how this all happened, we're all still shocked because this has never happened in NHL history. And I'm still trying to rack my brain, trying to figure out how a team that's had so much trouble coming back in games, has so much trouble scoring goals, became the first team in NHL history to erase a 3-goal deficit with under a minute to go.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that anybody has an explanation for that. Yeah. I mean, Thatcher Demko said to me, "I don't know what just happened."
Yeah.
I said, "Well, neither do I, because nobody has seen this before." I mean, so I can't give you an explanation of how they did it, other than, you know, they executed, and whether it was sending young Atu Ratu out to win a draw after the fourth goal, so that the Canucks immediately get the puck back with 28 seconds left to try and get the fifth goal, or whether it was, you know, the net front presence of the guys, or just winning the puck battles. And let's face it, a lot of this, if this had happened in reverse, we'd all be talking about what the Canucks did wrong. And I'm sure the Dallas Stars are spending a lot of time talking about that. And, you know, one probably little known fact in Vancouver, at least until you guys got on the air, Dallas, you know, they're a legitimate Stanley Cup threat. They had lost only two games all season when leading into the third period, until they've lost three in a row, including tonight. So there was probably a little bit of stage fright there. When it got to 5-4, but you know, the Canucks, the one thing you can say about them this year, for all their problems, they've always believed in themselves, and they've always found a way to surprise us with their resilience. They've surprised us a lot in negative ways as well, but they've found a way to, especially in the first half, and not so much down the stretch, which is part of the reason they're in such a dire situation now. But they found a way through that drama-filled first half of the season to collect points and be resourceful and be resilient. And certainly they were all of that. They were all of that tonight. I think we all thought when it was 3-0. That it was over, and yeah, the two early goals were nice, that the Canucks, you know, made a fight of it, that they didn't just go out meekly into the off season. But then when it got to 5-2, it was over, right? Like, and then as Thatcher Demko would say, I don't know what happened.
Rick Tocchet also made the point, too, of, you know, what a learning lesson it is for the young guys as well to be in these moments here, to try to just glean anything from it. And also pointed out that there was still an active nature and engagement from those guys in the final moments of this game. And I imagine, too, it's going to be something that they can carry over as well.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, he talked about it because I asked him about it, because I needed his thoughts for my for my column. But, yeah, I think the young guys tonight, they all played a role, right? I mean, Mancini scoring and Ratu scoring, winning a couple of key faceoffs. Linus Karlsson, the more I watch him, the more I'm impressed by all the little things he does, mostly in the offensive zone and around the net, at protecting pucks and getting position and causing problems for the other team. And of course, young Elias Pettersson has been a good story for a few weeks now for this team. But I think that's where there has to be, you hope, some benefit. You hope that this isn't just nothing. I mean, in the end, in the standings, it's going to be nothing. It's not going to save the Canucks season. It's going to extend it a day, or and hope maybe two. Maybe they get a chance to play for something
in Colorado. But you hope that a night like this, with the history that's been made, it's not for nothing. And I think the best hope that it is for something lies with those young players who are not all going to be part of this team. Maybe only a couple of them will. But Atu Ratu told me after the game that I asked him, is he going to take a lesson from this? And he said, 100%. He said, probably for the rest of my career, I'm going to be thinking whenever we're down 5-2 or 5-3 late in the game, it's not over and you keep playing. And you hope that there's some benefit to that down the road.
You know, Ian, it was 9 days ago when I asked you, why didn't they pull the goalie down two? And I think the comment you said it was irrelevant. And now we have Ratu Ratu saying he's going to remember competing all the way through this game.
Let's as convenient as it is for you, Dick, let's not forget the context. The Canucks were shorthanded. So pulling the goalie went 9 days ago, they were going to be skating 5-on-5.
Ian, they were down three goals with a minute to go.
Two goals.
No, today they were down three goals. Yes. And now I know they pulled the goalie down two. But you have
an advantage. In fact, had Tocchet not pulled the goalie the first time, they'd have won the game in regulation.
Right.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a fair enough point.
Yeah, that's about as valid as your argument.
The point of the argument was always compete.
No, it was 5-on-5. It was 5-on-5.
But the point is always compete. And here they go. They compete the rest of this way, and they come back to win tonight.
Yeah. No, I'm not conceding that one to you. Move on.
A historic comeback.
By the way, the 5-3 goal was not 6-on-5. They were skating 5-on-5.
Yeah. Should have pulled the goalie.
That happened. No, just... Yeah.
Yeah, so they were down two and they pulled the goalie and Piyu Suter scored.
Then it could have been 6-2, Bic.
But it wasn't. They came back and won.
Yeah. Well, and as far as, you know, they stave off elimination, and this just pushes the story forward one more day, and tomorrow Minnesota plays San Jose. If they win and pick up 2 points in any fashion, then the dream is over for Vancouver. But does this give the players, I want to say hope for, because you know, obviously it all depends on what happens, but determination to play out the string strong and not go out meekly?
Yeah, I think so. But as I said before, the players have always believed in themselves. So, you know, I wouldn't have expected them to go out meekly. And I think it's important to remember the 3-0 lead for Dallas tonight was built entirely on the power play, although Dallas was the better team to that point. I think, you know, what it does, this has been, we all know how hard a season this has been for everybody. It's been hard just to watch. It's been frustrating for fans. It's been exasperating at times. It's been bewildering, confounding. It's been sad, you know, it's been sad at times, and it's certainly been maddening for people. And whatever we feel, the players in the dressing room feel it more acutely, because this is their lives. This is their dreams and their livelihood. And tonight, I would say the feeling, you didn't even have to go into the dressing room, just being in the hallway outside the dressing room, you could feel the jubilation that the players felt. And certainly when you talk to them, you could feel the pride and the satisfaction they had in doing something that, let's face it, probably even they thought was beyond them, you know, being down mm-hmm. by 3 goals in the final minute. And this was one of the real good nights of a season that hasn't had a lot of them. And yeah, they're not idiots. Like, they understand where they are in the standings. They understand that the chance, it's almost nil, that this win means that they're going to be a playoff team in a couple of weeks. They know that's not happening. But it doesn't mitigate, you know, their right to feel good about themselves and good about something they accomplished that people didn't think they could do, because there haven't been a whole lot of those nights this season to celebrate.
No, it really hasn't. And we'll see what they have in store for us for the four remaining games and what happens with Minnesota tomorrow in San Jose against the Sharks. But Ian, great stuff as always. I look forward to reading your latest on Sportsnet.ca. Version 2, not version 1 of your story.
Yeah, version 2 will be a little happier.
Yeah, I mean...
Not Bick, though. Bick's not happy.
Well, I'm thrilled. I was proven correct.
Grumbling about...
I'm thrilled.
Some specious argument he made 9 days ago that lacks all kinds of merit other than superficial juvenility.
Wow, specious. That's really good. I like it. Great stuff. I mean, that's basically saying what you think is an argument is not an argument, is what he's saying.
It's hollow. Yeah, it's hollow argument.
Thanks, Ian.
It's okay. You can join me in the land of the enlightened next postgame.
We'll see what next game brings.
Yeah.
More historic efforts.
Are we going to do a post-game show tomorrow after Minnesota San Jose?
We might. If Minnesota loses, then there might be some form of a show. Yeah. We'll
emergency show before that Friday.
I think you should do a show tomorrow night if Minnesota loses.
Yeah,
just break into regular programming.
I'll do from home, maybe. We'll see what happens. I'll keep an eye on the game. Ian, great stuff as always, and we're going to play you out with this. Thanks, Ian.
Perfect. Perfect musical selection. Maybe it'll be two more days, though.
Maybe.
You're wrong.
It might be one more day. It might be two more days. Thanks, Ian.
See you guys.
That's Ian McIntyre. Make sure to read his latest on sportsnet.ca. That brings us to the end
Wilson
of the show.
Wilson Phillips reference. Cash is at plus 4,000 today.
I love it. I love it. Great stuff. Keep your thoughts coming into text inbox as always. Sorry for everybody we didn't get to on the show. I know a lot of thoughts coming in, but a fun night and the season.
You keep texting in because you never know if your text should get read at the end of the show.
It could happen at the very end. Lotso. Context Schmontex, live to die another day. The look on Carlson's face when it was 5-2.
There you go.
There you go. All right. Thank you all for texting in. Dusty says, ouch. That's just how he leaves it. All right. Thank you all for listening, participating. Always a pleasure. We're back at it again on regular shows. Bick is on the People Show 3 to 4. I'm on Canuck Central with Dan Riccio 4 to 6. Special thanks to Fast Eddie Gregory. I'm Sat. He's Bick. And this has been the Canuck Central Post Game Show on the Home Your Canucks, Sportsnet 650. Day.